Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3.
What will stop church growth? That's the name of tonight's thoughts. What will stop church growth? Now, some would say a pandemic. But interestingly, a number of our missionaries have said that their churches have actually grown because people are concerned. They are concerned. Can I tell you something? I wish more Americans were concerned. I don't care if they pass a $2 trillion bill. I mean, we're already in debt by how many trillions of dollars? That won't stop the issues. Can I tell you this? If the pandemic ended tomorrow, it would not stop the issues. People need the Lord. They need salvation. And unfortunately, too many people have no regard for their eternal souls. Their most precious possession. And they treat it lackadaisical. Psalm 26, 2a says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me." Do verses like that scare you? To ask the Lord to examine you? Donna was concerned about Casey and took him to the vet. And there was an issue on one of his legs, and it was determined after a biopsy that he indeed has cancer. To examine something can bring discouraging news. And sometimes I think, Lord, if you examine me and prove me, would you be disappointed? Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So what will stop church growth? I have 7 things listed. I am sure we could have 27 things. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." Right there, that is something that should scare us. As a believer and as a body of believers, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm." Now, I don't understand why the Lord wouldn't want us to be at least lukewarm. I mean, right? Isn't lukewarm better than cold? Okay. But he says, "I'd rather have you cold and not doing anything than going through the motions." Verse 16, "So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I'm not sure exactly what that means. I mean, I know what it means to spew something out of your mouth. I mean, if you've ever had the misfortune of drinking sour milk, you understand, okay? And I've had coffee on 3 different occasions, 3 sips. I understand what it means to spew something out of your mouth. Okay? But the Lord said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." Verse 17, this is what we're going to. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we read these thoughts that we could, Lord, be used of you. Lord, we hope that you have not spewed us out of your mouth. We hope, Lord, that you can say, "Well done." And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Number one, worldliness. Did you figure that'd be number one? Worldliness reveals the inward life. It reveals what is on the inside of a believer. Worldliness does not please God. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we have a lot of verses we'd like to read tonight. There's no guarantee that we'll read them all. And Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, beginning at verse 5. So worldliness reveals the inward life. Worldliness does not please God. And it begins in verse 5, our thought. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So let me ask you, does that verse scare you? It scares me. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Worldliness separates from God. It separates from God. Let me read to you from the book of James chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And again, that's a verse that scares us because we are in the world, but we're told not to be of the world. But can we very quickly sink into the world's muck and mire? Yes, we can. It happens so quickly. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Our God is a holy God. He is a just God. And he is bothered by sin. Now let me ask you a question. Spring is coming. And what comes with spring? Those plants that get in your lawn, they have a long stem and a yellow head. Dandelions. Don't you love dandelions in your yard? Kids love them. They like to pick them and give them to grandma. Yes. But they just get there and they are an irritant. So, worldliness, number one. Selfishness. Me first. The book of Luke chapter 12, we get the thought that selfish people think only of themselves. Luke 12 talks about the rich farmer who said, look what I have done and I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns because I don't have room to store all this. Was he selfish? He was selfish. We find that selfish people show a lack of love. 1 John chapter 3, let's turn there. We're in James, so it's not too far to 1 John chapter 3. This is a verse that bothers me because I don't believe that our society, that government should have to help out with the poor. You say, well, whose job is it? It's the church's job. The church should be the one that is helping out. Yet we don't do it. We expect the government to do it. And it's gotten us into a lot of problems, folks. A lot of problems. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good. Now, we live in America. We are blessed beyond measure. And we have this world's good. Notice, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What will stop church growth? Worldliness, selfishness. Selfish people reap what they sow. Acts chapter 5. What comes to mind when we talk about Acts chapter 5? At the end of chapter 4, we find Barnabas coming and bringing things and laying them at the feet of the apostles. So what is Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira. And they said, hey, let's say we gave, we are giving everything, but let's hold back some. And so they reaped what they sowed. They died. I've always thought that was interesting, that those who have taken your husband are now back for you. And I have paraphrased that as she fell dead. Number three, we have worldliness, we have selfishness, we have laziness. Lazy people begging the harvest, it says in Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Well, the same with the church. The church needs to be planting seeds. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're to be sowers of the seed. Lazy people come to poverty, it says in Proverbs 6, verses 9 through 11. Lazy people will not work for Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 19, Luke 19. We'll be going there twice tonight for the same story. Luke, chapter 19, and verse 20. Luke 19, verse 20. The Lord is giving a parable. And in verse 20, it says, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Talents. God has given us talents. He has given us gifts. He has given us means to be used of the Lord. And we need to use them. Can I tell you this? It bothers me when I read of someone in the entertainment world that began their singing in a church, in a Baptist church, singing specials, and they're good. And someone finds them and takes them off to Nashville or someplace like that, and soon, what are they doing? They're going after the almighty dollar, and no longer are they in church. God gives us talents, and we should use them. Number four, covetousness, otherwise known as greed. Proverbs 15:27a says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. When money becomes the object of one's life, they can become very miserable. You ever been at the grocery store and someone is there grumbling about the price of something? Oh, you were the one doing that? But you know, that isn't greed. It's sometimes just simply the fact that you are upset at how expensive things have become. And they have. Boy, has gas gone up or what? And the price of milk, have you noticed that? It's gone up by 20 or 25 cents a gallon. What's the cows go on strike or something? But we find we live in a very selfish society. And covetousness will stop church growth. Covetousness causes one to come to want. It says in Proverbs 22:16. Take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 10. Covetousness. And verse 10 says, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth, what's that word? Falsely. Covetousness leads people to lie, to cheat, to go in the wrong direction. Covetousness will bring God's judgment. Did you read in the bulletin this morning about the number of abortions performed in the world in 2020? Someone would say covetousness is behind abortions. Because abortion doctors don't do it for free, do they? They earn a lot of money. Cindy was saying that part of the stimulus program includes, what, $15 million for abortion clinics. Covetousness. Number five, prayerlessness. Did you figure that would be there somewhere, the lack of prayer? Prayerlessness. Prayerless people are disobedient. Do you believe that? You better, because Jesus said this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, men, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayerlessness. We need to remember to pray. Now, I realize that prayer is something that many of us start to do, and then our minds drift. Do you have those issues? That here you are, you have good intentions, and you're praying for something, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about something you're buying at the grocery store. Or you're thinking about something you have to do at home when you get there. Or you are thinking about someone. But prayer is something we need to do for the church. Prayerless people shall not prosper. James 4, 2 and 3 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, because you ask not. Prayerlessness. Number six. Fruitlessness. Now, when I see that word fruitlessness, it makes me think of a cereal. Can you think of the cereal I'm talking about? Fruit Loops. How come you all knew that? Fruit Loops. Do you remember eating Fruit Loops? Does anybody eat them now other than our children? Oh, some of you still like the Fruit Loops. Yeah. You know what the one I like? Hey, Mikey. I do like Life and Wheat Chex. I do. But prayerlessness, fruitlessness. Fruitlessness brings judgment. And back in chapter 19 of the book of Luke, I told you we'd be back, right? It brings judgment. We'll begin reading at verse 20. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a stern man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down now, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. What's it say? Thou wicked servant. We are to be busy in the producing of fruit. So why do churches sometimes become sluggish? A lack of fruitlessness. Number seven, unfaithfulness. It says in Romans 14, 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Unfaithfulness is sin. And we need people to be faithful to the cause of Christ. Unfaithfulness robs one of the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. We are to be faithful even unto death. Now that should scare us. But you know, there are people in the world today that are dying because of their Christian faith? You think it could come here? Absolutely it could. You do realize that Baptists were persecuted in the United States of America many years ago for preaching the gospel, for saying that we are not saved by works. So Baptists have been imprisoned in our country for proclaiming the truth. And it could happen again. Unfaithfulness cannot please God. Hebrews 11, 6a, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? To please Him. Who is the Him? God, our Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And I'm thankful for your faithfulness. Because if you weren't here tonight, boy, what would I do? But unfaithfulness cannot please God. Which brings us back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. As many as I love, the Lord loves the church. Doesn't Ephesians tell us that He loved the church and He died for it? He loves us. So He wants the church to prosper. He wants the church to grow. He wants the church to move forward in a mighty way. As many as I love, I rebuke. You ever have to chastise a child? It's not easy, is it? And yet, the Bible tells us that we should rebuke and chasten. Well, that's interesting. The Lord can chasten you, even as an adult, right? He can bring judgment. Can He bring judgment against the church? Absolutely. So we find, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous. Before we move on, let me ask you a question. What is something that you are zealous about? Are there people that are zealous about a sports team? They know everything about them. But how about this? In today's world of gambling, are there not a lot of people that are zealous about gambling? You know, our nation's in trouble when we have so many gambling avenues. So many people have problems with it. Do you remember when the hurricane hit New Orleans a number of years ago? I think it was President Bush, the second Bush. And a lot of money was given to the people in the New Orleans area. The idea was it was going to help them. The majority of it was spent at casinos. Money that was given from our government to them, they became zealous in gambling. But what's something else we can be zealous about? We could be zealous about church attendance. That means we look forward to it. We can be zealous about the reading of God's word, correct? We could be zealous about prayer. Be zealous. Looking for opportunities. How important it is that our church is zealous about the giving out of the gospel. Notice, be zealous therefore and repent. As adults, we don't like that thought, do we? We like to think that everything we do is A-okay. I'll be the first to tell you, as a pastor, we are times that I have to repent. Do you believe that? Do you think that I have things that I do wrong? How dare you? Unfortunately, it's true. Don't ask my wife, please, at least not in front of me, okay? But he says, repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so what we have here are seven things that we have listed. Worldliness, selfishness, laziness, covetousness, prayerlessness, fruitlessness, unfaithfulness. Could there have been more? Absolutely. But that's enough. But the fact is, we serve a Savior who is merciful. And as the prodigal son returned and the father met him, our Lord wants us to be usable, healthy, doing that which is needed. Shall we stand together and we'll sing a song of invitation? Maybe you'd like to come and pray. Maybe you'd like to just pray right there where you're at. Number 470, I have decided to follow Jesus. 470. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are merciful. And that, Lord, you do want to use our church. We ask, Lord, that we would be usable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.